So this isn't meant to be a very in-depth shiur. This is just meant to help people learn Maseches Tamid, so that those who are in isolation or quarantine will be able to make a siyum for themselves on Erev Pesach. Maseches Tamid, for those who are not familiar with it, is found in a standard Vilna Shas, in the volume that includes many small Masechtas from the end of Kachim, Bechoros, Erchin, Tmura, Krisus, Me'ila are the ones that are printed on the binding of Maishas. Tamid is in there as well. It actually does not begin its own count of Dapim, of pages, so it begins with a page that in Maishas says 50b. And it's Kapeh Mudbeis. That's what you want. The big word is Bishlosha. If you are looking for this, it is after Me'ila. And then after Kinim, and it's actually running, it runs in that flow of pages, so the Dabim don't start again, the pages don't start again, it's Me'ila, then Kinim, and then Tamid. And we've selected Tamid specifically because, well, Tamid is short, and much of it is Mishnah. So, trying to keep this clear and straightforward and hopefully relatively quick. Our first shiur is going to start with the opening Mishnah, and we're just going to cover that Mishnah itself, which is the entire Chav Hei Amud Beis, 25b, as well as half of Chav Vav Mid Aleph, 26a. Okay, so our Mishnah begins, well, first of all, Maseches Tamid is, as you might imagine, about the daily service in the Beis HaMikdash primarily, but we actually begin before the daily service begins. We begin the night before by discussing Shmira, by discussing the role and the elements of guarding the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll identify the places where the Kohanim were overnight in the Beis HaMikdash. That's actually our starting point. You'll notice if you're looking at a standard Vilna Shas that you have a commentary surrounding the Gemara that looks like Rashi in some sense. After all, it's in the standard script that we use to print Rashi's commentaries. It runs both sides of the Gemara, and it is decidedly not Rashi. Clearly later than Rashi, for anyone who is in any way skeptical, if you go down to the bottom of the first column and go up from there seven lines, you will see him quote Rashi. So I think that should put that question to bed. Who exactly it is, I'm actually not sure. It is somewhat significantly later, though, just based on those figures he quotes. So we begin. B'shloshim makomos ha-kohanim shomer b'beis hamikdash. There were three places where the kohanim guarded in the Beis Hamikdash. Beis Avtinas, Beis Hanitzotz, Beis Hamokat. So let's talk about these three places: the place of Avtinas, the place of Nitzotz, and the place of Mokat. What are these places? So looking at the non-Rashi commentary, he tells us that we are starting, as I said, to discuss the daily order of things in the Beis Hamikdash by talking about where the kohanim were overnight, and the Gemara itself on Chav Vav Mid Aleph is going to give us how we even know that there is such a thing as Shimur, how we know that there is such a thing as guarding the Beis HaMikdash overnight. But this parish here, the commentary on the side, asks, why would I need guarding? He says, I would have thought you don't need guarding at all, if not for the source that the Gemara is going to bring. And he gives you two reasons why you would think you don't need a guard. His second reason is because I might have thought that having one guard is sufficient. You don't need all of the guards that we have. But his first explanation is really interesting. The Gemara has a principle of Ein Anius B'Makom Ashirus. There is no such thing as poverty in a place of wealth. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be willing to spend money. And so he says, why do you need guards? If someone steals the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, just buy new ones. Which I thought is interesting. We have a standard tension in the Gemara between, on the one hand, saying there is no poverty in the place of wealth in the Beis HaMikdash, and on the other hand, Chasa Kadosh Baruch Hu Mamonim Shal Yisrael, Hashem spares the assets of Israel and does not require us to spend overly. So you could have made that argument on the other side. But in any case, we'll find out why they are guarding. That's something that we'll have to discuss on the next page. So the Kohanim are guarding in three places in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis Avtinas is the place where you have the family of Avtinas that prepares the Ketores, the incense. And then you have Beis HaNitzotz. And the commentary on the side says, I don't know why it's called Beis HaNitzotz. Nitzotz literally is a spark. However, if you look at the bottom right part of the page in, again, standard Vilna Shas, you will find that Nitzotz here is a reference to the sparks of sunlight, that the sun shone into the space and there was a lot of light, and therefore it was called the space of the spark, Beis HaNitzotz. Okay. And then the third one is Beis HaMokat. Mokad, the place of the fire, and we'll talk more about this fire shortly. In Beis Avtinas, place of the incense makers, as well as the place of the sunlight, the spark, you had upper areas and the rovim. Rovim are young kohanim who are not yet old enough to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. So they were shomrim sham. They would be the ones who would guard there. The commentary on the side notes for us that the kohanim are specifically in elevated spaces. They're supposed to be above the Levium. The Levium are down by the gates, and that's why they are sometimes called Shoarim. They are gatekeepers. The Kohanim are supposed to be elevated. The Kohanim are above. So in these upper areas, you have the younger Kohanim doing the guarding. You'll notice if you're, again, looking at a standard edition of the Gemara, there are various points where letters are added, letters are subtracted via notes to the side of the page, the sheet of Mekubetzes. This is a standard issue when you're dealing with the Mesechas at the end of Mesechas Kachim. So the Rovim or Veha Rovim, these young Kohanim would guard in those spaces. Beis HaMoked Kippa, right? Beis HaTinas and Beis HaNitzot had these upper floors. Beis HaMoked was a Kippa, was a dome of sorts, a raised area of sorts. And they hasten to note in the commentaries on the side that even though it was an elevated area, nonetheless it still had kedusha to it. It still had holiness to it. They also tell you in the commentary on the side here what the Beis HaMokad was exactly. Mokad is a place where you have fire, right? If you think of Eish Tukad or Tukad al HaMizbeach, it's the place where a fire burned, and they tell you in the commentary on the side that if you look at the Gemara and Yuma, you find that they kept a fire there at all times, and they used to bring fire for the Mizbeach, for the altar from there, even though we're told that in the first Beis HaMikdash, fire comes down from the heavens to ignite the Mizbeach. It's actually not igniting the Mizbeach. It was hidden by the fire that we ourselves provided, that we were supposed to provide, and that was brought from the Beis HaMokad, and he also notes in that commentary on the side, quoting Rashi, that you had a further purpose for the fire in this room, and that was to heat up the floor, because the Kohanim are walking around barefoot, you can catch cold, so you'd warm the floor and safeguard the health of the Kohanim. Okay, so this area is a dome. It is an elevated area on which the Kohanim would guard. And now we're back into the Mishnah. We're now on the fourth line. Ubayis Hagadol or Ubayis Gadol Hayamukov Rovdim Shel Evan. The great room was surrounded by layers of stone, protrusions of stone. And Zikne Beis Av Yeshenim Sham, the elders of the family that was guarding the Beis HaMikdash, that was serving in the Beis HaMikdash that week, they would lie there. There's some debate as to exactly where they lay, these elders of that family. The commentary that's, again, in Rashi's position, says the Zikne Beis Av Yeshenim Sham, it says, not on those protruding stones themselves, but rather you would go up on those protruding stones to an area where there were beds. That's what he writes. On the other hand, the Rush says no. On the stones themselves, that was where they would lie down. And then back in our Mishnah, five lines up from the bottom, Umachtechos Ha'azara Biyadam, the keys for the Azara, the keys for the Beis HaMikdash were actually literally in their hands. We're going to find out it's not exactly in their hands. If you learn Maseches Midos, you know that it's not exactly in their hands, but rather it was with them. The keys were with them, and they had a certain area where they would deposit them. Look in the commentary on the side of the page for more regarding that. Pirchei Kehuna Ish Kisabares, young Kohanim, each had his clothing with him on the ground. Lo Hayishenim, not clothing, sorry, not Kisuso, Kisuso, his bedding with him on the ground. Lo Hayishenim Bigdei Kodesh, they did not sleep in the garments in which they serve in the Beit HaMikdash. Elo Hayu Poshtin, and then the Bach is in the word, O son, I believe, no, Umekaplin, they would take them off and they would fold them, Umanichanos and Tachas Roshayim, and they would put them underneath their their heads. It doesn't necessarily mean underneath their heads. We'll talk about that. Umiskasin bixus atzman, and they would wear their own clothing for sleeping. When we say here the Pirchei Kehuna. The Pirchei Kehuna means the youngest Kohanim who are able to serve. Before we talked about the Rovim who were young and ineligible to serve. Pirchei Kehuna are older than the Rovim. They're already able to serve and they're on the ground. They don't get to be with the Zekanim, with the elders, on or next to those Rovim, those protruding stones. So basically you have three levels of Kohanim. You have the youngest Rovim that we've identified, and they are guarding in the upper areas by the Beis Haftinas and Beis Hanitzot. You have the Pirchei Kehuna who are older than them and they sleep on the ground. And then you have the Zekanim who are sleeping either on the Rovdim, on these protruding stones, or on beds that are next to them. Okay. We're on the bottom line on Chafayim and Beis 25b, or 50b as it is in mine. Ira keri le'echad behen yotzei v'holech lo b'misiba ha'holeches lo tachas ha'bira. The Bach takes out the word lo. In the event that one of the Kohanim experienced an emission which would make him tamei, so then he would have to leave the space and go via a misiba, which goes underneath the bira. So there is some debate as to what bira is. Is it the entire Beis HaMikdash? Is it only a section of it? But either way, you had a tunnel of sorts that went below. Misiba is an interesting word, clearly related to saviv, to turning. And in fact, the commentary on the side of the page says that this misiba was amutshal binyan sha'olin v'yordin bo al yedei gilgul. He says, it sounds like he's saying that you roll on a pillar. Clearly, it doesn't mean rolling on a pillar. It sounds, though, like some kind of a very dangerous way to ascend and descend. However, the Rush gives you what I think is the more common explanation of it, which is simply it was a tunnel. The cholot, these were tunnels. If you want to know where it went, again, in a standard Vilna Shas, I'm not sure where it'll be elsewhere, but if you were to turn to Lamites Amud Beis, to 39b, which is after Maseches Midos, you get a whole set of diagrams. And in diagram Aleph, you find in the upper right-hand corner of it the area where you would descend to the Beis HaTevilah, to the place of immersion. So that may help to visualize this a little bit, but it's a tunnel that you use to go under the Beis HaMikdash. The Neros Dolken Mikan Umikan, and you had lamps burning on either side. The Raven makes the point that it's on either side because this is a very twisty tunnel and you need a lot of light. Ashu Magia LeBeis HaTevilah, until you reach the place where you immerse. So, no one-stop shopping. Immediately, you get to go to the mikvah. Umedura haisasham, and you had a fire burning there. And the point is simply to keep people warm after they go to the mikvah. Ubeisa kisei shel kavod, as well as a washroom. And it was a dignified washroom. There was an element of kavod. There was an element of honor involved there. Uzaya kavod. This was the honor. Mitzvah na'ul biyadua or yodaya shiyesh sham adam. If you found it locked, then you knew that somebody was already there, so you wouldn't intrude on somebody else. Pasuach biyadua shiyesh sham adam. If it's open, you know that nobody is there. So the Kohen would go to mikvah, then he would come up and dry off, and he would warm himself by the fire. Then he would go sit with his brethren Kohenim until the gates were open, and then he would leave. Mishu wrote to Lisro HaMizbeach. We now fast forward, so we're now ready to get set for the day's avodah, the day's service. One who wanted to be Torah in the Mizbeach, wanted to remove the ashes from the Mizbeach. Mashkin b'tovel actually avon amuna. He would get up early and he would go to mikvah before the designee would come, before the person who was in charge of getting everybody up and started on the avodah would show up. By the way, I forgot to mention that we keep this Kohen who has just immersed with his brethren Kohen. And really, that's a little bit surprising because he's not Tahor yet. He's going to have to wait till sunset. He's what we call a Tvulyom. He is now immersed, but he's still waiting for sunset to become fully Tahor. Nonetheless, the Chachamim did not require him to actually leave at that point. He was able to stay. Okay. So the designee shows up. When exactly did he show up? What was the schedule for this? And the answer is lokalitim shavos. He didn't have a precise schedule. Pa'amishu b'mikros hagever. Sometimes he came when the rooster crowed. Sometime in the early morning hours. Osama Klom, Lefanov, Me'achrov, a little earlier, a little later. He wasn't showing up in the middle of the night, as the commentary on the side of the page notifies you. Hamamuna Bavadafak Alei, and Vein Paschulo, so the designee would come in and he would knock on the gates, either the gates of Har Habayis or the gates of Beis Hamokad, which opens onto Har Habayis. The parish notes both possibilities. The Vein Paschulo, and they would open up. Amar Lehen, Misha Taval, Yavid Yafis, and then he would say to them, whoever wants to do the avodah this morning, whoever wants to, whoever is immersed, should come and do the lottery. The lottery was done inside Kodesh territory. It was done inside sacred areas, as they note in the parish here from the Gemara in Yuma. It actually had to be done in a holy area. You didn't do it outside. Hefisu, they did their lottery, and Misha Zacha Zachabo, whoever won, had the right to be able to do the avoda, to do the work. So again, this is a very quick shiur, just taking us through the very simple read. There's a lot more that we could be doing with this, but hopefully this will be helpful, and God willing, tomorrow I will add some more.